Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. I am Jose Otero, joined by Fran Mirabella.
Yeah.
And Destin Laguirre.
Hi, everybody.
And this week on the program, we are talking about Bungie's apology and sort of what that means for the digital collector's edition of Destiny the Taken King. We are talking about the Red Bull fiasco that has taken, the controversy that has taken over this week in light of what happened with the other thing that pissed people off
perfect
this week.
Timing.
Yeah, perfect timing. And lastly, we're going to go through a quick wish list of what we want to see in The Taken King. Mm-hmm. Now that we know what it is, we've sort of done that sort of segment idea before on the show, but now that we sort of know what Taken King is, what do we expect now based on what we know, based on the knowledge we have?
Yeah.
Cool. So let's then begin with the apology. Earlier this week, creative director on Destiny, The Taken King. But before I tell this story.
No, it's okay. Fran, I was telling Jose that we've been getting a lot of questions about Fireteam Fireteam Chat t-shirts.
Fireteam Tat.
Those two. You should get a Fireteam tattoo, by the way.
No,
if somebody does that
do
now
that.
And gets in trouble,
don't
say it was my fault.
Yeah.
But get one. They're awesome. Anyway, so you can go to ign-store.myshopify.com. I did not choose that URL. But check it out. You can get some Fireteam Chat t-shirts as well as other IGN shirts. And we've been getting some questions. But if you want them, they're there. So that was all. That's my limited commercial
interruption. I got a question. Where's my Nintendo voice chat shirt?
But we're not going to have that here.
I'm not going to do it on air.
I want one just as bad as you do.
All right, so we'll make sure that happens. Okay, so definitely check that out if you want the t-shirt. It is a cool shirt. I hope I have not seen it. So next we have the apology this week, which was sort of the fallout from...
The epic apology.
Yes, from Luke Smith, who is the creative director on Destiny the Taken King. Luke, also a reminder for folks, came from the press side. He used to work for 1UP.com. He was their community person before Deej and before Eric. Osborne had that role. And so he basically, I mean,
he
I
did
do
an
want,
interview with Eurogamer and he looked like a jerk.
Well, I want
that's what happened.
And I want to clarify this real quick because text interviews don't always convey the tone of a conversation, right? Like we have a text interview this week we did with Reggie Fils-Aimé where it feels like I'm pressing him on Zelda and it sounds like we're being really aggressive and we weren't. We were just asking in a cordial context.
We gave him the benefit of the doubt last
but
week.
But if you know Luke, like you know Luke likes to joke. I know Luke. I have spoken to Luke. I've had lunch with Luke. I have had the, you know, some sort of, I've had interactions with him before he got into this role.
Yeah.
And I will say that he is, he can be a prankster and it just seems like that came across as very insincere in that interview. So I do want to kind of put that out there for
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good notice. If you read it, it might come across as even worse than it was. But the reality is it was his job to solve for that question. And unfortunately, he didn't do it. And that's why it blew up. Because someone said, hey, you have something out there that now I can't get. And I've been a loyal player. And the only way for me to get it is to rebuy old stuff. And so the problem was he joked and pressed and pushed their buttons, maybe even in a joking way, right? But he didn't solve for the problem.
Exactly.
And so it became agitated. And, well, everybody freaked out. And then they issued an apology and offered a solution.
Here's what he said.
So Here we go. So many, many years ago, I wrote for you each week in this spot talking about his prior job. Mm-hmm. We talked about Bad Arrivals. We talked about some stuff where we weren't going to talk about. And at some point, I did a horrible hand drawing of an upcoming map and teased you with it in a weekly update. These are all prior updates that Luke may have penned when he was working on Halo. Anyone who knows me knows I can be sarcastic. Anyone who remembers podcasts I've done know that I can be pretty blunt. And anyone who's watched me in a Vidoc knows I'm pretty unpolished. However, most of you don't know me. Reading my interview with Eurogamer and imagining it came from some random developer of a game I love, the random developer looks like an asshat. But that asshat was me. And those words rightfully anger you. I'm sorry. And then he takes us through sort of what's going to happen with the collector's edition of Destiny the Taken King.
Well, he says, my words made it sound like Bungie doesn't care. I think that's important about their most loyal fans and who do care.
Yeah, and they have been, I feel like, and then right before E3, that's become more of the message, right?
Well, let's finish it. We are listening, and we will make it right.
Okay.
Here's what we're doing about the collector's edition.
Sure.
Deej
took over
to outline that in a second.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the solution to this, though, became that basically that very specific stuff you can now pay for. But the price tag.
And then we get back into the controversy.
Yeah.
But let's outline what they said.
Yeah. So the digital collector's edition, which I believe is the term for this thing, is $20. Yeah. It has three class-specific emotes, three armor shaders, and three exotic class items.
So it's not the digital
XP.
Collector's edition, Jose.
Sorry.
That's
collector's edition, Taken King collector's edition, correct?
This is just
But it's the piece
20...
out of that they're calling a digital release.
So the Taken King is $40.
Okay.
The digital content for the Taken King that was in the collector's edition is $20 if you just want to buy just the three class-specific emotes, the three armor shaders, and the three exotic class items with XP bonuses.
Yep. So you get nine things.
Yeah, you get nine things for $20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they are now in a cannot win situation because they have listened. And you said, I don't want to rebuy old stuff just to get these. And they said, okay, fine. I can't, you know, I'm going to say probably what they're thinking is, well, I can't devalue the collector's edition, which you had to pay for. These things were valued as well as, like, you know, the books and the things that are included in there. So not to take away from the people that already bought it, there has to be some value placed on this.
And
however,
fair,
by doing it, they are now setting a precedent, unfortunately, right, that nine things are worth $20 and it's being scrutinized for, I got to pay $20 now? Well, you don't have to rebuy content. They did solve that. I think the question now is going to be, is it worth it? Mm-hmm. And just to finish that thought, the first thing I would say is, well, wait till you know more about what these things are. There's no reason to pre-order these. You can buy them when the game comes out. Like,
if you want to.
It doesn't seem significant just by reading off of a list. I will say that. But I will also say that it does bother me a bit that a lot of the ire over this feels directed more at Bungie than it is at its publisher for this game, which is Activision.
That's true. That's
and
a good
I do
point.
Think that people need to step back from just throwing that full-on assault on we don't want this or this costs too much, just at Bungie, because at the end of the day, I think Bungie only controls creative on that game. Bungie does not control what these things cost, in at least in my opinion. And if I'm wrong and you work at Bungie, feel free to write in and tell me that.
You were right that Activision has a precedent for, offering this type of stuff and Call of Duty and other places, but I don't know. I see where you're going. Bungie has a pretty good reputation. It listens to its fans. It's one of the few companies that's going to apologize like that.
Mm-hmm,
And I was saying that before. They do listen. They have. But they are in a sticky situation. I personally put it more on the fact that they have created a collector's edition. How do you get out of that without pissing everybody off that bought your collector's edition?
Yeah.
They had to backpedal, right? This was not a plan, and this was the best they could come up with. Like, really, like, what would you do? I'm just curious. Like, would you, if you're, you know, part of the business, are you going to say, well, it's $8.99, and then your collector's edition people are coming in and saying, but I paid, you know, an extra $40 over this.
The collector's edition's $80, and you get a bunch of physical things. That's where the extra value is.
These are
digital items.
Play devil's advocate.
It's not
$20.
It's $12 worth of value.
Okay, but see, explain that to me. How do you value these other items versus the other
things? If you go compare it to other DLC products that offer similar things, and we'll get more into that into the next section, other companies that are releasing this stuff for nothing.
Right.
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous that you're charging $20 for these items. And we're getting into the microtransaction business model now, and that's not what we wanted for Destiny. That's like nightmare scenario.
It's funny because it's not a microtransaction. I wish I could just buy the emotes.
How is that not a microtransaction?
Because it's $20.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying it's a major
transaction. It's a macro transaction.
Yeah. I think more to your point, I think maybe the approach that could have been taken, and folks may not agree with me on this, but I'm going to put this out there, is to—
I hate you, whatever you're going to say.
You can pre-hate, bro. You can basically don't bundle this stuff. Like, just separate it. Let people decide what they want to buy, because maybe I only have a hunter and I don't want the two other class-specific emotes. Mm-hmm. I don't want the other armor shaders. Like, let me be able to not only judge that value, but then pick piecemeal
totally.
What I want.
I mean, but this is the whole crux of the problem. They didn't plan microtransactions, no. I don't think.
I guarantee you
they've discussed them, but now they're in a situation. They got nine things. They got a $40 differential between the digital edition without all the extras in the old games and this. And somehow they had to meet in the middle. And I really think they were like, look, $20, if people want them, they can buy them. We're not forcing you to buy them. But unfortunately, the message they're sending is $20 divided by nine. Value of each of those things is roughly this. And so you're thinking, like, I would never buy this.
Yeah, but Destiny is also a game that I feel like people do overlook what you're paying for and what you're getting in some cases, where, like, Destiny is a shooter with MMO-like ideas that you are not paying a monthly fee to play.
Yeah, it's persistent.
And I'm not saying that justifies the pricing model they're going for.
Yeah.
But I do think it does take a minute for you to step back and say, well, if this is not following that model that justifies why there's a monthly cost because you're getting new content at a regular schedule. No. And then you look at the way this game is trying to do that, and it's very different. Like, I don't think this was an easy decision for anyone involved. And so when I do see the vitriol on some of it, I can understand it, the response, but I also feel like some of it's misdirected. Like, I do think Activision does take some of the blame on this, and I don't see enough of that getting spread around.
They both do, though.
But my point is,
I think they both do, but I feel like right now, for a lot of people,
everybody's
it's just
saying Bungie.
This is Bungie's fault. Yeah. And I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
But I would also say, like, who's right here? Is it to say that it is not worth $20? Now, I'm not saying it is.
I don't know.
There's ways to evaluate it. But how do you place value on certain things in microtransactions? You know, people will buy a stupid skin on something for 99 cents, and they will buy, like, 40 of them. And that's $40. You know what I mean? But
let me buy shaders. You should have established that as an optional way to pay for your game when you launched it.
So that was what I was about to say. The biggest mistake that Activision and Bungie have made is they did not really plan for this, and now their solution is caught between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's being scrutinized, and they can't win. So what we don't know is if maybe those class items are awesome, and we're like, you should totally buy them because it does this or that. I don't think it's going to.
Yeah.
But let's wait and see a little bit too. But I think the real conversation that we should take forward after this, maybe another time, is, should it have microtransactions? That is a super slippery slope.
We've had that conversation on
the
show, right?
Maybe it's time to reevaluate.
Yeah, maybe it's time to revisit it.
Well, it shows you how do you do it? How do you value it?
Another thing.
I would say, just one last thing real quick. I would say that maybe looking at the risk. Yeah, we haven't yet, and I'm going to let you steer on that. Yeah. But I do want to say that maybe the approach they're taking on these collector's editions needs to be reevaluated. We're like,
absolutely.
If the hardcore Destiny fan is a fan who wants these physical goods, why isn't there an expansion product that has that tied to it? Why are you putting that to... So, like, I don't think the person who walked away from Destiny cares about a physical good about Destiny that's going to reel them back in. Like, I'm just not convinced about that at all right now.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest learning lesson. And the Vault has taught us this too. Hardcore fans, your most loyal, do not want to not have access to things or have to get rid of things.
Yeah.
So meaning don't put stuff out there as simple as an emote or shader that I just cannot get at any point in time. Mm-hmm. You have to have a solution for that, whether it's day one or not.
It has to be
at some point, exactly.
Not with my wallet, like with through in-game progress.
Don't tell me that I missed a window and I will never get the blacksmith shader again, because as a hardcore fan, I'm going to be super upset.
Yeah.
I think that's really what they need to take away from this. It's okay to do this, but you got to offer me a solution.
So let's take a positive turn here. So part of year two, is this a positive thing?
Sort of. Deej said, that's the collector's edition, but people who've been there since day one, don't worry, you're going to get something better. And then this is what they defined as better.
But this isn't everything they have.
No, they haven't
so
outlined
what we're, everything what we're yet. Discussing right now is the items that they've shown us for VIPs. VIPs are people that have been playing since year one and hit level 30. Mm-hmm. And
which you can do by August 31st, by the way, so you still can be that year one.
Thank you for that. That's important context.
Yeah. And that includes an emblem, shader, sparrow, and gear, maybe. It looks like new gear. And
But they haven't really detailed.
The problem was
yet,
he said it would be better, and that's not better than three class-specific emotes, three armor shaders, and three exotic class items. They're all just cosmetic.
Yeah, but I think we need to wait and see the full, you know, outline.
I wouldn't be surprised if these three specific emotes, three armor shaders, and the exotic class items, well, maybe not so much those, but these six are absolutely cosmetic. Like I just
no, the class, so the I already know the exotic items, they're going to have a direct impact on your character's progression. They have like stuff that you can unlock.
Okay.
So it's not just cosmetic for
because
it's like
at least
an,
for that.
An arm emblem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like the emotes, I mean, they're kind of cosmetic. It's a custom animation for each of the classes that nobody else will have. You know, so that's really important.
I mean, and, at the end of the day,
armor shaders, I don't know. That's definitely cosmetic.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think the message here is, at least for if you don't think the value is there for this package of six goods that you just don't think are worth $20, don't buy it.
Yep.
Send that message.
Yeah.
That's your job.
There's already
consumer.
A petition out there. And like, you know, I did a whole rant about stop voting with your wallet.
Yeah. What's the petition about, this one you're referring to?
Well, on Reddit, people are just like, don't buy it if you're really unhappy with how they did this. Just don't spend your money. That's how you have to vote.
But that's
the point.
As a consumer.
Being, like, again, I agree there's a discussion to be had about the value of those things.
I agree with you
on that. As we learn more about those things.
Yeah.
But don't – like, I will say I get a little upset now that they have solved it. You're still – I see a lot of people just – they immediately tapped into, I hate all of this. It's stupid. And you don't have to buy any of this.
Yeah.
Just
really
use some rational decision making. And at the end of the day, if you don't buy it, that sends a message.
Yeah.
A
and
big
by the
one.
Way, if you've been playing Destiny, history tells you that you might be pretty excited to have those things in the first couple weeks. And then you're going to get all these really cool new Taken King things that
you
will never
care.
Use them again.
Yeah.
So honestly, the year one stuff you may find will be that, right? That special shader, that emblem will be stuff that's pretty rare to those who have taken the time to do that.
Yeah.
Right. So Taken. Again,
taking
the
time. I know.
Yeah.
We're way over on that segment.
All right,
we got to move.
We are way over.
We
got to
move.
So let's move over to
the controversy rabbit hole continues.
Yeah, apparently this week, and this was a very poor week to do this, it was basically announced that there's this partnership with Red Bull that leaked on, at least initially when the Taken King info leaked, this was part of that leak. And little did we know what we were walking into. So, Dustin,
well,
why don't you?
Well, it's a cool promotion.
Yeah, why don't
now
you
the
set
question.
The table for this?
So,
cool promotion.
Exactly. So,
we're going to come back to that, if it's cool or not. But more importantly, I promise, we will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dustin, set the table for this. For
all right,
folks.
So Red Bull and Destiny are working together, and they're doing a thing where, like, when you open your Red Bull, there's a code underneath that you can redeem at Red Bull's website, and it'll give you a 50% XP bonus and unlock a mission only available in the USA and Canada.
Until?
Well,
beginning
August
of...
1st, it's nationwide.
Well, no, but meaning this promotion to Red Bull is only exclusive through the, I believe, the first of next year in 2016.
Yes.
So the mission will be released. So
eventually,
it's a timed exclusive. You will get access to
it. It's a timed exclusive with Red Bull, and it's just terrible timing. Like, it just kind of continues the PR nightmare that they're stuck in right
now. This week was really bad for them, PR-wise.
Their whole UK fan base is angry. So there's not only this problem, there's also the pricing problem, which we never talked about. In the UK, they have to pay $63 for the $40 Taken King thing because they did a direct translation into pounds.
Right.
So the UK is just getting screwed.
Yeah, but they also have to pay £60 for the full edition, right?
Yeah, consistently though on
so
video games,
actually,
the UK
Amazon
gets pretty screwed.
Amazon,
I just want to point that out.
Yeah, Amazon actually reduced the price of the limited edition for the Taken King to be comparable. They released it to £43, which is closer to what it should actually cost.
Oh, really? So you're telling? Sorry, I didn't double check this. So it's $43 current. Sorry, £43 for the Taken King limited edition, which is the full game, right?
Which is $63 on Amazon,
right? Which is the full game, though, and the digital, you know, Taken King stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're telling me it's £40 for just the Taken King?
Yeah, there's
so it's a £3 differential, is what you're just saying?
Okay. I don't know what the pounds are exactly. The U.S. equivalent is it's $63 for that Game of the Year edition, the middle tier edition of Destiny with the Taken King, right? That comes to $63. But if you just get the Taken King, it's still £40, which is...
Roughly, yeah. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. In pounds, they're currently too close.
I'm screwing
close,
this
so,
up. Yes. Okay.
Regardless, the anger is pointed at that UK is paying more. But I like I said earlier, I feel like that's been a problem with video games in Europe for a very long time. Yeah. Like I don't. I mean. Whatever.
It's not exclusive to Destiny.
This is not a problem exclusive to Destiny. But regardless, you should be upset if you live in any other region other than the U.S. and Canada because you're not getting in on whatever this thing is, and I love that the Red Bull thing is, and I love that the Dying Light developers decided to have fun with this. Added a tweet talking about we're jumping on the latest trend in game marketing, and they call it the water weapon docket.
Yeah. So if you send them, if you tweet them a picture of you drinking water, they will give you a code to unlock a weapon docket.
That's great.
And they're not the only one. There was another game. Oh man, I forgot the name of it. But they released three free emotes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Warframe. There it is.
There you go. Okay.
So Warframe released three free emotes in response to this Destiny fiasco.
Wow.
Just like, yeah, here's some emotes, whatever. We don't care. For free.
Yeah, for free.
And Dying Light's giving away free stuff for you drinking water.
Okay.
So, yeah, everybody's like taking a stab.
Got a dying thirst? Have a glass of water.
Yeah.
All right. But more importantly, let's talk a bit about
drink
then,
for
this
DLC
problem.
Is the hashtag.
Yeah, this controversy is then that this mission, this XP boost, not going to be in other regions.
Yeah.
What about the U.S. response? What are you seeing there? Like, are people just upset because this is distastefully the thing? Like, this is the equivalent of Mountain Dew and Doritos.
U.S. response is still negative because it's tied to 7-Eleven, and a lot of people don't have a 7-Eleven near them. So I'm like, all right, I guess I won't be playing it. You know, so not only are they limiting people in the U.S., they're also like people in the U.K. just can't get it at all. And I kind of wanted to talk about this on the show because we've been hearing a lot about this Red Bull tie-in promo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a lot of fervor about it and people were like, yeah, like I can't play it. So I'm paying way more for this DLC, like way more. And now I can't even do the Red Bull thing. Like, come on.
Mm.
You know,
people
are just people are feeling left out or hosed or feast.
sure and I would only say that we don't know with this Red Bull deal how much of this money goes towards making Destiny a better game.
The Red Bull money?
Let's talk about this.
Activision's pockets,
like, sponsored,
you don't have like a performance stuff, and loss analysis of Destiny and how much it costs to make
but,
all this stuff.
I mean, let's use some of our expertise here, like sponsored stuff, things where, you know, a sponsorship comes in, like that money goes towards making something, right? I'm not trying to defend this. I'm just
Jose, it's funny. I don't know if we talked about this, but that's what I was saying. Again, like let's base our analysis on facts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How much did it cost to make Destiny and all of this stuff?
$100 million.
No, you don't know that. Yeah,
yeah, they released the facts. They gave him $100 million.
But not on the Taken King and everything else. But yes, the point is, we know Activision is in the business of making a lot of money off of a product. So history would tell you that this is a money grab. But we also see a lot of publishers go out of business and also developers. I don't think Bungie's in that situation.
No.
But meaning you... You know, you kind of got to put that hat on.
Average playtime is 3 hours.
How much money are they spending on the next Destiny and so on? And that all factors into this. That being said, yeah, precedent would say this is pretty much a great marketing deal that Activision has done before with people like Mountain Dew and so on.
But a bad week to launch it.
And yeah, they withhold something that was really part of the game, and it's a timed exclusive, and it makes them more money. And usually fans don't mind it so much. But the Destiny is a special scenario, I think, where... when something like all these little things are withheld, we only have so much to do every week.
Yeah.
So everything is going to be scrutinized that you're withholding like that.
If it was an XP boost, I don't think people would care as much, but it's a mission. It's a whole thing. Okay, you are locked
for
out
like
of
three
until
months.
2016.
But let's talk about that portion of it, right? Like the mission, we don't know if it's a good mission. We don't know if it's a bad one. Take, for example, in right now in House of Wolves, there is a bounty you can pick up, and it opens this mission that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. You know which one I'm talking about.
I never did it off the top of my head.
It's not a very good mission, at least in the sense that it starts out in the summoning pits and you're on a turret and you think it's going to be this high point and this awesome thing.
Mm.
And it ends really
it's
quickly.
About a
it almost feels
mission.
Like yeah, it feels like just like a pitch for a mission versus the full thing.
Hmm.
If that's what I'm getting out of this, I'm fine. I don't need to play that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that's what you
think.
You don't know the content of the Taken King. You don't know that this mission is even fun
you
or
guys
substantial.
Don't care, but I think the audience, they want to decide for themselves whether or not they would like it, and they can't
do care,
sure.
But you're saying what we're saying, which is look at the content before you decide.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I don't think that it's wrong for the audience to care about this. I mean, we're all part of that audience, for Christ's sake, so there shouldn't be a difference. But I will say that I'm not a big fan of snap judgments, right? Like, I'm a guy who when something gets announced that I'm disappointed in, I go, okay, well, that's so far all I know. Let me reserve this judgment. Let me just wait and see what they're going to pull on this. And right now, I just don't know what that mission is. And quite frankly, I would be willing to bet right now that it's not something that is a huge deal. But
probably
at the end of the day, pulling this out this week,
it was
like
terrible,
whoever was
terrible,
running
yeah.
the PR ship, on this campaign really needed to pull over and say, hey, guys, we cannot talk about this yet because this is already a rough week for us in terms of that the price.
Well, they didn't really talk about it. It just kind of came out. So this type of stuff. There's no way they could have put the brakes on it.
Yeah, guys, this launches next week. Or now. It's in stores now.
So the cans exist.
They're out. They had to say it. Wait, so this was planned a long time ago.
So do we start the podcast every week with how many cans of Red Bull did you buy?
No, that's not a bad idea.
Zero.
I'm kidding.
So, look, be objective is the point. But it's hard to be objective when it is your time and money. And we have nothing to do until September 15th. So, of course, we're going to
So far, on the books, we have nothing big happening with Destiny between now and September 15th.
And one point of clarity before, since we were kind of throwing the numbers out. I mean, Destin was right. It was $40 currently still for just the Taken King. Sorry, £40 and £46 they had reduced the price for the limited edition. So it's $62 and $72 difference currently as the dollar stands. So that's the issue is like it doesn't – yeah, first of all, it's expensive. But second of all, it's like you know only a $10 differential between those two doesn't seem right. So
we're coming to the end of the show. We need to transition to the last thing. But before Jose opens it up we're going to start the conversation here. We're going to end it with the community. So we want you to leave comments about this next segment. So
yeah,
Jose,
absolutely. No, yeah.
Comments.
Comments only?
Yes.
Wait. What just happened, mister?
I used to respond. 500 emails.
Really? Yeah. But you used to respond to all of them. What happened?
I have 500 of them, and I just work.
Sure. But meaning, feel free to send email, but we're going to be really looking at comments.
Yeah.
In fact, get in the comments and help bubble up the stuff that you
guys
think is
and
great.
That's comments on YouTube or on IGN itself, right? Yeah. We can try and definitely take a look at both.
Will you be looking at the Fireteam Chat podcast group on Facebook at all?
I'm on there all the time.
Yeah, so we'll look there.
Okay,
too.
I like this. All right, so then the question is for us right now, what do we want to see in The Taken King? Now, I mentioned at the top of the show, we have talked about what we want from the next expansion, but I think now that we have a better idea of what this expansion is, we can have a more informed discussion on it. And this, of course, was a Destin Laguerre pitch. So
actually,
thanks, Destin,
Fran and I talked about it over text last night.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. You guys text each other.
Fran's like, man, we don't want to be all negative on the show. Let's talk about like some hopefulness and brightness.
It's funny. I didn't even say that yesterday, but I said, what are the topics for the show?
Yeah.
And he laid it out, and I was like, well, what about some of these things maybe? And he's like, oh, yeah, maybe something like looking forward to the Taken King.
Yeah.
Because we haven't talked a lot about it.
We've been in a lot of doom and gloom lately with all the like negative press that Bungie's getting and just disgusting.
Well,
we've been so focused
on what we know, what is being taken away or not given, and how much it costs, and it all valid discussion. But we haven't really talked about what we want to get out of the Taken King. There's so much we don't know.
Yeah, so then what do you want to get out of Exotics?
Yeah,
which I see here is the one you want.
Brought up a few topics. Exotics for me is just something that's really on my mind. Like I have all these exotics, but a lot of them just sit in the vault.
Yeah.
So one, you know, I talked about fundamentals a lot in past podcasts. I would love it if they figured out some way to kind of make those exotics valuable again. But above and beyond that,
like something
it's just,
desirable, like Gjallarhorn, you mean? Or
well,
Icebreaker,
like,
or...
Let me use an example. Yeah. Monte Carlo, if it had, like, Solar Burn, I would suddenly be all over that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
or
just,
it was just a good AR.
Exactly.
Because ARs are bad, right?
Well, but that would come down to just buffing ARs. But my point is there's a number of exotics that I think are really cool, but they're very situational. You don't use them as much. Like, I use the Vex a ton.
Yeah.
You know, Thorn is getting used a ton. But there's a lot that don't get used. So anyway, it'd be great if they could kind of adjust the current ones. But the real thing is whatever is coming out, I hope they just have kind of a new view and philosophy on that. Like, Dragon's Breath was a good example of, you know, from Dark Below. Like, I don't think any of us felt like, oh, you got to have that.
Oh, God, Dragon's Breath.
In concept,
leaves a little ball.
Yeah, it seemed really cool. And I think strategically they had ideas about Thrall coming into those, like, solar, you know, flames and stuff. But it didn't pan out. Anyway, I think you get the point. Would love to see, and we talked about it a little bit, is, like, everybody wants Gjallarhorn. Mm-hmm. I hope and really want with the Taken King there to be a few that you're like, you have to have this. And that would be super exciting because we just haven't had that in like almost a year.
Totally agree.
So,
okay. All right. Destin, you're up.
So
I've got a list, by the way.
Well, just a few bullet points. But
for me,
it's about story design. And I think they're actually working on this already. So we saw in their Vidoc, people getting their third super ability.
Yeah.
And if you notice, the Hunter, the Warlock, and the Titan, they're all on different planets when I get them. And I think this means we're going to see branching story paths where each character is going to have a different quest to get their new powers. And maybe each class that you play as is going to have a different experience. You know, I'd be really excited to see something like that. Because right now it's like, all right, I played through as a Warlock. I played through as a Titan, and it was exactly the same, except I'm a Titan now. You know, just something to differentiate each of the classes is personality-wise.
Don't you think they'll actually just have three different missions, though, and, like, one of them is the Hunter one, and one of them's the
It's a start, and it's a step in the right direction. I don't know. I'm talking about what I hope it would be.
But
you
hope that it's, like, exclusive, that if I don't have a Hunter, I don't get to play that mission?
No, I think you could tag along.
Yeah, that's what
but
I mean,
he has a unique experience. Like, his cutscene is different than my cutscene when we reach the end of the level.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit like collecting the Triforce, right? Like, you're going to get each piece together, but in particular, one applies to you. No, that's
and then,
seems to be what it's like.
Yeah, and then, like, more character interaction. Not only between the NPCs, but, like, seeing my guys, like, interact in some way would be cool, because you're... Your character does have a voice. They say, like, one word in the campaign. Yeah. It'd be nice to see more from them. And then the story, whatever happens in the story, I want it to have a repercussion in the real world. Like, have it affect something. Like, somebody dies in the tower, and you just never see them again,
like,
and you
our
cause
real
that.
World. I was like, that is messed up.
You
mean, like, whatever. Like, something happens, and then Aeris was just, like, you know,
or like
murdered
a section
in the tower.
Or, like, a section of the tower
That's
is just
grim,
destroyed.
Dude.
Yeah, right you now.
That would
the
be
only...
cool.
Yeah,
would
like,
be
just
cool.
something actually
That's
happens.
Well, look at, like, in the past, and this is a different example, but I think it's relevant, is World of Warcraft with Cataclysm radically changed some of the areas that people have been in for years. Yeah. And I think that was a really smart approach. And I do want to say, though, that right now, the way sort of... I don't know if this was to your point of character interaction or just your next point, but that when an expansion is out, the way the world is impacted is that a new random troop of enemies is now, you know,
roaming.
Sort of roaming. And I don't know.
I think they already said that's
going to
happen.
Enough. So, yeah, but that doesn't seem like enough. It never explains where the last pack went.
Yeah.
Like, it there's just
like,
disconnect.
All right, I guess that's
like,
our quarter. Yeah. Time to go home.
It's time to leave. And so the wolves will have given up. And, you know, and the Taken King now, I'm presuming Taken will be running around. But what I'm trying to say is
the wolves are taking a lunch break.
That's not enough impact on the world. So I think you're right in that there should be a bigger scale change.
No, I hadn't even thought about that yet. A geometric impact on the world that it will never will never be the same.
You go to Venus and, like, a wall is now destroyed because of something that happened during the story, and there's a whole new section to explore. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Or just radically redesign an area so that the impact of whatever happened is just like something you've been through here 100 times, but you've never been through here and it looked like this.
You know what I want to see now is at the end of the Taken King that the Dreadnought crashes into one of these planets.
And then it's just
huge
there.
Castle, and it just, and it like half of it tunnels under the ground, the other half sticking out. And
so
like,
every time you go to the tower, you see where the Dreadnought crashed and the effect that had. That'd be amazing, right?
Yeah,
that'd be so cool.
I'm sure they're thinking about that.
Yeah, but I would pull us down to earth a little bit in saying that you don't want it to come down to if you didn't complete a certain event in the quest or in the campaign, that this is impossible, right? Because then how do you divide the players who did do it from the players who didn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, like it crashes into the vault of glass and you can never play again. Nah, I mean, it's a good point, though.
Yeah,
like, you wouldn't want it to devalue. It should enhance.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. But that's a cool idea, especially for players that have been there, to like go back to an area and see this kind of like apocalyptic, crashed, you know, poison fumes, totally changes the landscape.
Or,
would be cool.
Or take, and maybe you guys won't agree with this, but take Vault of Glass right now and how you have that opening section outside of the vault. If because of what happens in House of Wolves, that just never happens again, like that's something that we can all talk about. Like, do you remember what the first part of Vault of Glass was
having
like
to open the door.
Before this got cracked by the last dude who was, it was through, by Skolas? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of cool, I think.
No, exactly. Little things that can go along.
That's a small scale thing, but maybe that can be cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll see it in the Taken King yet, but I do think that those ideas are out there.
Okay,
we're over. But if you had anything to add,
No, actually, I have plenty. I just wrote these all right now while you were you're gonna. So I do want to see more weapon quests, but this time ones that actually matter. Like, I feel Murmur was a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I feel that Sidearms was a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Sort of just experimenting with different types of you know, special weapons.
There's an Iron Banner
so much I got it twice.
There's an Iron Banner sidearm too. Yeah, that's right.
I forgot all about that. But we saw in the Taken King Vidoc that Luke says we're doing things with weapons we're not even talking about yet, and I do think he's hinting at things maybe that tie into those two categories, or maybe even things we haven't even discussed on the show.
Well, I think new weapon paths are coming as well, right?
They've
kind of hinted at that.
Yes, they have. So I do think, though, that one place, and this sounds like such a silly thing, but I am so, as someone who has a level 30, like a max level hunter, when I look at the idea of starting a new character, which I have, I actually started a new warlock.
Oh, you finally
the notion
finally
of
did.
I did, shout out to a good friend of the show, Nathan, for getting me to finally do this. It then becomes, well, man, I got a power level with someone or something because I got to make it all the way to 20. Well, you know what? Why? Like, why not give people who have already reached max level
with
the ability to start, with one character to start a new class at level 30? Why not?
Or maybe 20.
I don't know about
maybe
that.
Maybe start 20. Level 20.
No, I want 30. I would say 30 only because because you can switch up those orbs all you want. Like give me level 30 and give me one of those three class specific the class types completely filled out and let me play around with that.
If you buy a pack of Mountain Dew.
Stop it.
All right, get out.
I just don't like the idea of having to redo or replay some of that stuff. And if all it boils down to is, well, we want you to learn how to use your class abilities. I can switch around the orbs whenever I feel like it during a patrol and learn it myself.
Yeah.
So I will.
I'm sorry.
I will say you're onto something really interesting, and it's at odds with each other because on the one side, right, I spent all this time, whatever, to build a character, I earned it, and now you just get to come in and not.
So
but let me finish.
What?
The other side is.
Sounds like Jose just doesn't have a lot of time, and he's like, I don't want to do the work.
The other side is, I would play some of these other characters for fun and replay stuff, but I don't want to spend all that time building it up.
No,
I think there's other ways to do that. Like. Free try weekend or something, you know, try out a different class.
Nope, I want to keep it.
Yeah. This was the same
idea. You're not going to change me on
this. Similar idea to, like, remember when I was mentioned for weapons, it'd be cool to have, like, whatever, 30-minute burn.
Yeah.
All the perks are available. I can go out and test it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we want to try other characters, and it takes way too long to get there. True. It's interesting.
Yeah, and my last thing I do, and this one is a complete shot in the dark, so feel free to laugh, is that I want to see more missions play with the asymmetry, with the idea that what I'm seeing might not necessarily be what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Taken King could be that opportunity and sort of these sort of demented, strange Taken. And
is there
sort
an example of that already, you mean?
Dead Space 3 had an version of that.
Jose wrote that
feel
down.
Like,
I'm stealing it from
yeah,
you.
He's stealing
I thought you meant it already existed in
no,
the game.
No.
I can't remember
I think the Atheon fight to some degree is that, but you're in separate locations, right? But it can be, you know, seen as that. And I do think that...
That's smart.
Yeah, I just think that at the end of the day, that kind of introduces an interesting dynamic because different players are doing different things.
You get to replay multiple times, and that was one of the benefits of Vault of Glass. That's
So I do want to see them go back to and sort of experiment with more of that stuff because I think it's ultimately a lot of fun.
I like all of this.
Yeah. I got to go, guys.
I got to go, too. We got things to do. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Fireteam Chat. We are a weekly show on IGN, and you can get us in a variety of places, as you may have heard.
If you're listening to us on iTunes, as always, please go drop us a review. No, seriously. I know I say it every week, but go in. Give us a review if you listen there. It honestly helps us out a ton. Exposes it to more Destiny players. You can find us on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3. The IGN app is a great place to watch us on the big screen. Of course, we're on all our apps and on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe. Follow us on Facebook and all the above.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
All right, so you guys gonna Guardians pout or whatever? Like, is that what it's called?
No, that's not what you're gonna say.
But that is the show today. And as always, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.